2 Corinthians is where we're going to start. When we went to two services, Sister Dorothy Clark started attending first service. Of course, she was also faithful to Sunday school, so most likely you know who Dorothy is. If you don't know who Dorothy is, it wasn't because she didn't try. And we gave opportunity for people to stand up and give a memorial. Brother Craig and Brad were faithful to do that. And something that they both basically said it, but in different ways, that Dorothy was faithful to make sure that you noticed that she was here. That if she knew you, you were going to know when she was here. You are not going to gloss over her. And even though, you know, we laugh at that now, and maybe while it was happening, it might not have been the most pleasant of things, every person in here deserves that kind of treatment. Amen. And not that we or you or I expect every person in here to greet you and the such, but if our paths cross, at the very least, a smile ought to come over. Good to see you, type thing. We beg you not to be like that person, and I could say her name, but just in case, Facebook and all that you're connected, I won't. But there was this person in college. We would call her Bertha Better Than You type thing. I believe personally that she struggled with this. And yes, I'm judging right now. The Lord will forgive me. Thank you for laughing. It's a joke. But I almost said her name. But this lady, every day that our paths crossed, this is what she did. If our eyes met, and she tried really hard for that never to happen, but if she was, you know, had a weak moment and she lifted her head up and she saw me, she'd go, "That's all I got." And I was like, I don't know what to do. After about 3 years of it, I wanted to say, "Honey, it's okay. I've dealt with it. It's good. You don't have to even try," is what I wanted to say. And church, no, and I don't know of that happening here, but no person that attends Bethel Baptist Church should ever have to put up with that. You put on a genuine smile, and you be genuinely happy that they're here. Amen, church? Yeah, really. So, this has come around this week, and every time the Lord brings, I like to share it because it's funny. Now, whether you laugh or not is on you. But there were two men that attended Central Baptist College, and both of those young men, they were 10 years older than I, if not 20. They had both made it financially, but they had also made it spiritually, and they were to a point that they could afford to take some time off and go to school. And they went to CBC Bible School to learn more about their Lord. I'd never met a millionaire before, but I'd certainly never met a millionaire that was on fire for Jesus. And several times after class, we would just sit out in the road there and talk. And this one particular time, and I believe with all my heart, this fella knew this lady. And we were talking about CBC and some of the challenges we have, and this guy just blurted out, "Yeah, here at CBC, some of us are plastic." And she was the first person that I thought of. Is that bad? Probably. But it was just hilarious. Church, none of us can afford to be plastic. Amen. We cannot afford to be plastic. And I'm not saying that you can't have a bad day. We can all have a bad day. But pray through that, and next Sunday, make up for it. And so I'm just begging you, Dorothy, and I loved what Craig said too. Brad's the one that said she was going to be seen. Craig said that he regularly got in trouble by Dorothy because, you know, he had upset her or whatever. But then he said this, and it's so true. She got happy as fast as she got mad. That she'd tell you what the issue was, and then she was over, it was done. You know, hope you have a great day. And that's the way we should be also. Quick to let go of offenses. Yes. And so I just, You know, no, this isn't another memorial service, but I think it's important that we remember the strengths. Dorothy was a giver. That's a hog face. And no, she wasn't trying to put me down. I'm a Razorback. I'm an Arkansas Razorback. And she knitted me this little hog face. I literally walked into my office and picked it up because I knew I had at least one of 20 things that Dorothy had done for me. She was a giver. And so we praise God for that. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 7. No, I'm sorry, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things that abound to every good work. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Get all situated here. So we have embarked upon a series of this book, I Could, I Might, I Can, I Should, I Will. And there are 9 I will statements that this book brings out. This is a series on 9 commitments that every church member or family member needs to make on a weekly/daily basis. I will move from I am to I will. We've already addressed that, moving from the being part of Christianity to the doing part of Christianity. I will worship with others. I will grow together with others. That was one message. I will serve. I will go. And today we will look at I will give generously and I will not be a church dropout. Tonight we will look at I will avoid the traps of churchianity, and lastly I will make a difference. Both of those will be tonight. One of the issues on speaking about money, because I will give, that's what we're talking about, as Christians, and a Christian's responsibility to give to the support of Christ's church is the stigma around it. What is the stigma? In my humble opinion, it's mainly and mostly non-church people. They do not like to be told what to do with their money. I get that. I really do. I understand that. It seems like inevitably, when you finally get your friend to come to church, what does the preacher preach on? Money. And so when you leave the church, your friend hammers you with that age-old saying, all the preacher in the church want is money. It's all they want. I have heard that a lot of times. So for today's message, we're going to ask this question, why? Why the stigma? Why do they have a problem with pastor whoever at whatever church preaching about money? Well, this is my humble opinion. We are a created being. Whether we realize it or not, we were created to worship our Creator. If we refuse to worship our Creator, the urge and desire to worship does not go away. Every created being worships something or someone. And as a result, we all tithe to someone or something. And when someone has made up their mind who they are going to worship and who they are going to tithe to, they look very dimly on anyone telling them that they need to divert their attention to God and His church. I had an experience, I believe it was yesterday, Friday at the latest, that, and y'all know I'm a sports fanatic to some level. I try prayerfully and very diligently not to let it become a worship issue. But when, if you will, God allows me, I enjoy sports endeavors. And so you know with this COVID era, there's been precious little sports going on since March and the such. Everything in the sports world has been turned upside down, delayed, put off, canceled, whatever the case may be. And so Brother Ben has been affected by that. And to be straight up honest with you, I've grown very impatient with everything that the sports world has bought into during this time that they've been quote unquote off. Absolutely. So their football's trying to have a season. College football's trying to have a season. I am loyal to the Missouri Tigers because I live in the state. I am an Alabama fan. I am. They're playing on 9/26. That's two Saturdays from now. And it's in Missouri. It's a home game for Missouri. And I thought, I'm going. So I got out my phone and I got on StubHub and I looked to see where I was going to sit. And then I saw the price. $300 for one ticket. Now, I don't think so, Brian says. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go to something like that by myself. And if I invite someone, I'm not going to ask them to pay. So now we're talking about $600. I was like, Lord, that's a tithe. that's a tithe. And the people, and I'm not trying to shoot at anybody, but the people that worship those types of entities, it's no big deal. It's just, as Leon would say, it's the cost of doing business, you know, and they shell that out. Now, think about it. So here's your friend, a relative, workmate that you've invited to church on the 27th, and they're coming, but they're a Tiger fan, and they will go to the game, and they've shelled out $600+ to go to that game, and then they come here, and this Yahoo is going to tell him he needs to give 10% of his, that fella has lost his ever-loving mind. In church, that may be true, but you're supposed to laugh. I may have lost my ever-loving mind, but the reality is it's not wrong for me to preach the truth of God's word, and it's really not wrong for them to react because there's a difference there. There's a diametrically opposed opinion there. I get it, but watch this. This message isn't for the prospective person coming to Christ. This message is for you. It is for the church body. But we still, however, before we can get into that, we need to address how do we address these people that we're trying to win to Christ, but they get offended. Again, I believe, understandably so, they get offended when they hear a message like this. The key is to concentrate on the person's soul and their lostness and the pain from their sin. The key to worship and tithing is not convincing them of it, but introducing them to Christ. And He takes it from there. Folks, God doesn't start with money with a lost person. God doesn't even start with church membership with a lost person. God starts with kingdom citizenship. You need to know me, Jesus says, as your Savior. When you know me as your Savior, I put my blood inside of you. That fits you for heaven, and that makes you a kingdom citizen. And oh, by the way, we've got some other details we need to discuss. And he takes it in his timing. And it says, that's why discipleship is so important for the local church, because he's going to use you as that mouthpiece for him to address these very subjects. But we shouldn't neglect the teachings of tithing inside of the church just because a visitor occasionally misunderstands why we do so. So why do and should we teach regularly on tithing? It's biblical. Now, I used to, for about 5 years, I covered this for about 3 to 4 Sundays, and I've got those sermons ready to go anytime the Holy Spirit leads me to do that. Haven't been led to preach that particular series for a while. Again, it should be pretty well documented that this church does an amazing, excellent job on tithing, so I really don't have to address it very often, but let's keep reading the notes, okay? It is needed. It's not just biblical. It is needed to the new and growing older congregation. I'm not talking about the 60s, 70s, and 80s of our congregation. I'm talking about the 5s, the 6s, the 7s, the 8s, the 9s, the 10 years old, the new people in our fellowship. it is needed to occasionally preach on tithing and giving because they need to know what their church believes. They just do. And so a five-year-old maybe is not going to really connect with a sermon on tithing his candy. I get it. That's why they're in children's church. But a 10-year-old might understand tithing on their allowance or whatever the case may be. And so it's important that we in any church teach these truths. So what is our teaching? The tithe goes to the Lord's church. An offering can be designated. And I've just, in two phrases, summarized what I believe to be the biblical teaching on giving. We're not going to go into the deep, the three-week sermon today, but we're going to hit the high points. You and I are to tithe off of the income that the Lord provides us. That's 10%. And we are to give an offering above that per the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. None of this is out of obligation, but of love and gratefulness for salvation. I want to say this very quickly, but I don't want to try to, I don't want to divert anyone here, but this is just the truth. Your pastor and this church, as a result, we are stringent, lovingly stringent on tithing. If you dive in to the other pastors, preachers, scholars, books that are out there, you're going to find, in my opinion, some confusion. You're going to find differing opinions. And very honestly, I've not been able to find anyone that really gives a clear picture beyond what is already provided in Scripture. You're going to find folks over here that believes 10% is not enough, but it really gets cloudy when they try to prove it. You're going to get these folks over here, like my grandmother, that says that's an Old Testament thing and it's no longer expected, but you can't support that in Scripture. And so I just like to stay right here. The Lord has asked me to give 10% of my income to Him, to His church, for them to do with what they will. I'm not to designate it. I give it to the church to use for the furtherance of His kingdom work. And then if the Holy Spirit leads on my heart an offering to designate to a certain point or just to give an offering above my tithe, I do that willingly again because I'm a cheerful giver. I'm thankful. Watch this. Yours and my giving is directly tied to our gratitude for what God did for us on the cross. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting pretty deep in our relationship with Christ. And that's why money is so such a touchy topic, because it's really got very little to do with whether or not you should. It's got everything to do how close you and I are to Christ. That's my humble opinion. So I'm going to put the guys in the sound booth on the spot. Do we have a video that I sent to you? Robert's back there. Let's go ahead and show that, because this illustrates a hilarious.
You got a unicorn?
Unicorn. Yeah. I got a cow. Wow. What did you get, Mama?
I got a turkey.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay.
And thank you. Another present.
I got an elephant.
I got an elephant, too.
What did you get? What'd you get? A unicorn. Okay. Yeah, we got another present here.
Oh, I get a present. Cameraman gets a present.
You're all over the place, cameraman.
Guess what mine is? A hoot owl. You want to hear what a hoot owl does?
Yeah.
What do you get?
A teddy bear.
I don't know what teddy bear do. What did Mama get?
I got a penguin.
Got nothing for the penguin.
I got a penguin, but I don't
know how they walk.
Like a waddle, 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 waddle.
Okay. What did you get, Tommy?
I got a snake. What's that tune from?
She just kind of half mailed it in. But some of those others, it was from the toes. It just came. And church, I'm going to confess to you that not every time I write my tithe check do I have that. But that is the point. That's where you and I are to get. We are to stay so close to the cross of Christ. We are to stay so close to the bleeding, dying form of Jesus for our sins that it just comes from the toes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so, now, I will say this. I said it the first service. We're not going to go deep, deep into, you know, okay, this verse says this and this, but we can. And so if you need further help, let's set an appointment. And that appointment won't be me hammering you on, you better. Instead, it will be, okay, what are your questions? And then we'll try to answer the questions from God's Word. This is a statement that every Bethel and every church member and family member of a church should say. I will give. I will support the ministry of that particular church. Again, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He loves a hilarious giver. Point number two, I will not drop out. And so, very honestly, again, I always feel a little bit, I struggle with preaching on giving because this church does so well. God has blessed this church with some amazing givers. But this is an area, possibly closer to some reality, if you will, that we as a church need to work on, and that is this area of dropping out. And that's why I joked earlier that as far as I know, recently, I have not aggravated anyone. The reality is that any given year, our back door is as wide open as our back door is as wide open as our front door type thing. And so church dropout is very serious. And so for you and I to make this commitment, it's extremely important. I will not be. Now watch this. You've heard me say this before. There's three reasons why someone leaves a church. Reason number one, they get offended. They get offended. They get upset. Reason number two, sin. Sin. Sin causes them that they can't go and endure strict and hard preaching, if you will, so they just remove themselves because they've fallen into sin. And then number three is the only reason why someone should and can leave a church biblically, and that is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if you and I will say today, I am not going to allow offense to lead me out of this church, I'm going to do what that covenant says, and I'm going to go to that brother or sister that offended me, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get it worked out. Right. You'll not be a church dropout. Secondly, if you'll say, I am not going to allow any sin to separate me from the love of my Savior, that would separate me from His church, you're going to protect yourself of ever being a dropout. And so, when the Holy Spirit leads you out of this church, we will support you because you need to follow Him. You need to. And so we don't ever like it, but we believe in it and we receive it and understand it. So here is the writer of this book. He says this, I was a young man in my 20s. I had been married to Nellie Joe a few years, and we had two small sons at home. Jess was not yet born. I was a banker then, continuing a tradition in my family that lasted six generations. When Nellie Joe and I joined the Golden Springs Baptist Church in Anniston, Alabama, I was ready to get involved. You see, I had been out of church for many years. When we joined the church, Nellie Joe was pregnant with our first child. I really wanted to get involved, and so I did. Bob was watching me closely. He saw my youthful enthusiasm. He saw me become a father, first of one son, then a second, and he was worried about me. He had seen it before. Someone comes into the church and moves from no involvement to almost total immersion in church life. They are doing so many things that their family suffers. These enthusiastic church members begin to see the not-so-perfect side of church life the more they get involved. They get discouraged and they get tired. They usually quit, drop out. They become another church statistic. They are called comet Christians. They come in like a burning flame, only to disappear after a short while. While Bob Hand saw that happening to me, he took me under his guidance. He never lectured me. He never spoke down to me. He told me stories. Those stories became my guide away from burnout and disillusionment. I know that God used Bob to keep me on a trajectory that would ultimately take me to seminary and vocational ministry. Without Bob, I could have become another church dropout. Church, you've heard it said, and I've said it to you before. I heard it from a preacher years and years ago. If the devil cannot take your foot off of the gas for Jesus, he'll slam it all the way down to the floor. And so before you know it, you're doing everything that the preacher asks you to do. You're doing everything that a deacon asks you to do. You're doing everything that there's nobody to do that. And before you know it, you're burnt slap out. Church, I want you to know, I do not expect that out of any person in this church, including the staff that are paid by this church. I expect you and the Holy Spirit to figure out where to serve and to put your shoulder to the wheel in that area and serve for Him. He's going to say it here in just a moment, but you and I should never sign up for something because we're guilted to do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't work in guilt. He doesn't. He works in leadership. If He leads you to do something, then that's what you and I ought to do. Let me find my starting spot again here. A common thread runs through most of the stories of dropouts. There is something about the church that brings big disappointment and disillusionment. Burnout can occur when a church member is doing too much or too little. Or it can take place when a church member is doing things for which he or she has no passion. I Will, this book, is not a checklist of things to do to please God or to be a good church member. This book is an expression of a natural overflow of ministry that should take place because of our love for Christ and His church. If that didn't hit home, we're wasting our time. Watch this. This book and this call to not be a church dropout is an expression of a natural overflow of ministry that should take place because of our love of Christ and His church. For now, let's focus on those factors most likely to prevent church burnout. We have an abundance of research on church dropouts that will guide us in this direction. There is obviously a reason every chapter and verse of the Bible is there. The Holy Spirit led the writers of Scripture, and those chapters and verses of the Bible are now in our canon. For some, there may seem to be a tension between grace and works. We could do a lifetime study of that issue, but let's take an abbreviated overview for now. One of the most quoted passages of the Bible is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The verses are abundantly clear. Our salvation comes by grace, the unmerited favor we receive from God through our faith in Christ. Paul, the writer of this book, does not stop there. He not only tells us how we are saved, he tells us how we are not saved. Our salvation, he says, does not come from ourselves or from our works. Got that? Works do not save us, but we can't end the passage there. Verse 10 is a critical part of this thought. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. So when you read the entirety of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we are not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. And this last phrase is key, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. God has already preordained the works that you and I are supposed to do. We just have to follow His leadership to do them. Some of them happen on a, if you will, a haphazard basis. It looks like that, but the reality is they've been foreordained before you and I were ever created. And then some, He works on you and works on you and works on you and gets you to that spot that you are to do them. Church, you and I were created to do good works. Amen. That's it. And as you and I work towards our relationship with Christ, He's going to lead you to what those good works are. I'm just seeing if there's anything else. So what do these verses have to do with church burnout? We burn out when our motivation to do works is for anyone else but God. Let me return to my story of Bob Hand to illustrate. Bob saw that I was saying yes to everyone in the church. I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a boys' mission leader. I taught first grade training class. I was in 5 a.m. prayer group. I led a Saturday work crew. I served on 3 committees. I was an usher. You get the picture? None of those ministries were bad choices. I just had said yes to everyone. I got to the point where I was doing so many things that I was doing none well. And in church, I don't want that. I don't want that for any of us. I want us to absolutely be where God wants us and to be enjoying it and still having time for our families. Still having time for the people. Can I trust you? Say amen if I can trust you. Well, there's only a few of you. Can I trust you? All right. What I'm fixing to tell you is not. It's not that. It's just the truth. Last week, I taught you and I preached to you about I will go. And I told you very clearly. It's not the pastor's job to win the community to Christ for the church. It's your job. But if I'm not doing my part, I'm a hypocrite. Amen, church? Yeah, you rightfully expect me to lead the way. I'm not the paid hired soul winner, but I should be a soul winner. I'm not going to give great details. But that very day, God had arranged. You know, I knew we weren't having church because of Labor Day weekend, Sunday evening. And so God arranged with the Kingston family and another family to go out and eat. And as far as I know, it's absolutely a situation where we hope to someday be able to point them to Christ. Whether they receive, that's on them. And no, I'm not doing this any more than you are to put a notch in your belt. I'm doing this because this is what I was called to do, is to share my faith. And church, you've been called to do that as well. And so the good works is the same way. I've got some good works that God is pointing me towards because He created me for that. You know what I have found about the Holy Spirit? When you throw in and you get all in, and I mean you just got it all over you, whatever it is you're trying to do for the Lord, the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear, "This is what I created you for." Amen. Right. And you'll be like that little girl. It'll come from your toes. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. The devil has told you all your life you can't. Your flesh has told you all your life you can't. The world is telling you right now you better not. But when you throw in and do what God has called you to do, He whispers to you, "I knew you had it in y'all." Because I put myself inside of you and I know, because I wear the victor's crown, I know that we can do this. And church, I'm just so thrilled and excited. You would think after 22 years I'd get tired of you folks, but I am not. You may be tired of me, but I am not tired of you. I am motivated. I am excited. What God is doing in our midst and what He's called us to do. Let me read this real quick, and then we're done with the book today. We're almost done with the sermon. He talks about ministry atrophy because we've talked about doing too much. There's also the possibility of not doing enough. Quote, unquote, if you're not serving somewhere, that could lead to ministry atrophy. What does that word mean? The only namesake that I know that has ever been given from me to a baby boy was John and Deborah Smith's baby, Benjamin Joel. Or Joel Benjamin, I forget which way it went. And unfortunately, Joel Benjamin had a terrible disease that causes the muscles to atrophy. It means to get smaller. They just go away. And he died after so many days after being born. I actually went down to see him and saw him before he died and then also went to the funeral. It's my namesake. And so, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, when we start getting more involved in the world, if you will, and we allow it to take us away from what God wants us to do in his kingdom work, we can atrophy. And we're talking about spiritually. We get spiritually weak. And that's where the whole thing of mailing it in comes. That's where the whole thing of, yeah, I checked it off the box this week. And the such, and we can't do that. So it's extremely important that you and I be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And what he leads us to do, we sign up for. And we exercise those spiritual muscles that we need to exercise. Church, I'm into some things that I know that I can't do. But the Holy Spirit keeps telling me, I can through you. I can through you. And the Lord wants to do the same thing through you. So I want you to hear this. This is a lady that she got discouraged at a church because everything was buttoned up. Everything, every task was buttoned up by some older church member, and she couldn't serve. While it's true no one in the church was asking me to serve, she wrote, that was only a convenient excuse for me. I decided to start my own personal prayer ministry for church members. I took the church directory every day and started praying for church members and church staff by name. I then began volunteering for a few opportunities where someone would offer a generic invitation. I was selective in choosing those areas that really excited me. Obviously, some of the longer-term church members began to notice me and my work. I now have more opportunities for service than I can accept. I was about to become a church dropout, but my reasons were rooted in my pride because no one was asking me to serve. I learned that I can pray without being asked, and I can serve without being asked. I'm glad I decided to put my foolish pride aside and seek to serve in ways I knew I could. I don't think that we have that issue here, that we've got everything, you know, buttoned. If that were the case, we wouldn't be begging for volunteers all the time. With that said, if you have found it difficult, come talk to me. Come talk to me. Now, I want to share this. I shared this in First Service. We had some folks that have recently joined in First Service and the such. I tell them, don't just sign up for everything right now. Come for 3 to 6 months and see where the need is. See where your spiritual gift may fit a particular need and the such. But it is important that if we're going to be a part of a church, that we be involved in the ministry of that church. Musicians, will you come? Let's stand. I've said this many times to people throughout the years. We need you. And I'm saying that to you today. No matter what your name is, no matter your socioeconomic background, no matter your ethnicity, we need you. Now listen to this next one. We're better with you than without you. I believe that. Every one of you. We're better with you than without you. We all need to ask God to show and lead us to those works that he's called us to. We really do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know what's going on here. You know what you are striving to do through this message, through this speaker, through these songs today. Lord, I pray that you just simply do your will in each heart and soul. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll come forward in this invitation and we'll share your glorious gospel with them. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that they need to evaluate, they need to seek your face, I just pray they'll do it right where they're at or at this altar, whatever the case may be. God, I pray that a revival of service will break out at Bethel Baptist Church for your glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?